What's going on, EPW Nation? It's your boys from the Everything College Basketball Podcast, Josh and Peyton, here to remind you all that college basketball season is right around the corner. Yes, we finally know it's right around the corner. And Peyton, there's only one place people should go for all the college basketball excitement.
Well, Josh, the only place to find all college basketball hoops all the time is Everything College Basketball. Everything College Basketball can be listened to on several podcast hosting sites like Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. And we can also be found on our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/EverythingCollegeBasketball.
Yes, make sure you are joining the group with a couple other 100 people and growing by the day as we march into year number 3 of the Everything College Basketball networking system. Now, let's get back to Conrad and Everything Pro Wrestling.
Episode 15 of Clash of the Podcast. It's boss time. We got a big lineup set up for you. Myself, my tag team partner, Sean Hubbard, Hubbard Wrestling Weekly. Yeah. Link down below. Go to the website. Check us out, man. Audio versions, video versions. We're always live. If you've checked us out on one, check us out on the other, please. And yeah, we got a lot to talk about. Sasha Banks and New Japan and all the controversy surrounding that. We're going to talk a little Ring of Honor Final Battle and some of the announcements that came out of that. And NXT Deadline. Was it hot? Was it not? We're going to get into all of that. And then we're going to talk to Sean upon our return. Let's get into this intro. You dig. Always feels so good, that intro. I could get lost in it all day.
Every week. I love it.
It's so good. It's so good. How you feeling, Sean?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm not going to lie. My energy is super up right now. And that's strange for me for a Monday. I'm always excited about doing the show with you guys, with you. But at the same time, like, Mondays are kind of a natural bore. But all day I was flying, man. I'm feeling good.
That's what I like to hear, man. Energy is up. There's lots to talk about within the realm of pro wrestling. Did you hear about the Sasha Banks news here? Like, how are you feeling about this, man? So listen, I highly recommend when we talk about stuff in the archives, go in there, go back and find it. Me and Sean on Hubbard Wrestling Weekly discussed Sasha and Naomi's walkout, our disappointment with the whole ordeal. And we are now going to get into the rumors from it, the fallout. And it seems to be going towards Sasha Banks at the moment. I cannot wait. Cannot wait to get your thoughts on this.
I am so fired up about Sasha Banks, Mercedes, being a part of pro wrestling again. Obviously, it's rumors and innuendo, as they like to say. But it's looking pretty solid that she's going to be back in one form or another. Wrestling needs Sasha Banks. Don't let anybody fool you. I think wrestling needs Naomi. I think Naomi has turned a corner, whether you want to call it luck because of the situation of her being affiliated with Sasha Banks, the friendship which led to the walkout. Hey, right place, wrong time, right? But right place, right time, excuse me. But then again, I always felt like Naomi would eventually be in the bloodline anyway, so I felt like her time was coming regardless, just coming in a different way. So Sasha, Naomi, more specifically Sasha, because we've heard rumors about Sasha, I'm all about it.
I hear you. Let's welcome some people in before I read the actual report of what we've got going on. Matt Lopez, first one in here, saying good evening. I hope the weekend was good to you all. It was good, sir.
Thank you very much. It was.
Big T in the house. What's good? Great show from ROH on Saturday. TK needs to get used to 8-match cards. That was what's up. Joel in the house saying, yo, let's go. What's good? Appreciate you, good brother. Always appreciate you. Mr. Pro Wrestling One saying, I think this is for you, Sean, this comment. Looking sharp today. Sean's always coming. Sean's always coming in looking GQ, HQ, whatever you want to call it.
I appreciate it. I'm regular, but I appreciate it. I like the hat and the NBA shirt, so he's probably talking about you. But Joel, thank you either way, my brother.
This is basic attire. Basic. But we appreciate it. Jason Marsh, what's good, man?
Jason.
I hope things are well, brother. Thank you for joining us. BJ's also in the house. What up, Beach?
B-Jizzle.
Let's see here. Looking forward to my boys, Conrad and Sean, every week. Is there an official opponent for Sasha or nothing set in stone yet? No, we're going to get into that. Somebody's talked about the rumor Boston Bullet Club. That is also a possibility. Jay White has referenced he would love to have the boss in the Bullet Club. So things are happening. Damon, what's good? He said, yo, Ray Talks of Wrestling, listening to the audio from last week. Let's keep it friendly. No need to call an opinion.
I didn't call your opinion stupid. I disagreed vehemently with your opinion. And I also complimented you on what I believe are mostly good takes that you have. So don't call me out for one thing and not talk about something else. I was very complimentary of you last week. So let's not be sensitive. All right, bro? Let's have some fun. Quick programming note, though. I want to throw out there, Conrad. For our friends at Fight TV. I did get just a little bit of an exclusive. Unfortunately, Fight TV will not be presenting New Japan's pay-per-view in January. So that is my mistake. I don't want there to be any misconception about that. They usually do. Who knows? I'm not, you know, on the inside. But I do have contacts, and they did let me know that, unfortunately, New Japan pay-per-view at the new year will not be a Fight TV event. But it's all good. We'll figure it out.
We shall. Now, let's get into some of the Sasha Banks news for those of you who have been not hanging around. Sasha Banks, those in New Japan Pro Wrestling only found out about Sasha Banks' impending Wrestling Kingdom appearance when they read the news online. This week, it was reported Banks will be attending the January 4th, 2023 event, but it is unclear if she'll be competing, appearing on screen, or just being present at the show. Banks has been suspended from WWE programming since May after she and Naomi walked out on an episode of Raw over a creative dispute, allegedly. I'll throw that in there as well. Mm-hmm. But Banks' involvement is huge news, and she still remains that she's under contract with those in WWE. Wrestling Observer Radio, Dave Meltzer has reported that everyone he spoke to in New Japan was not told that the boss would be at the show. There's nobody there that knew anything about it, including some big insiders. It looks like she's taking interest possibly in the match between the IWGP Women's Champion Kairi and Tam Nakano. So that is the title match set up. So I know some people are thinking, oh, she's going to compete for the championship, but I don't think that's possible at this point. Okay. But this could lead to the setup for it, to the next match, because there is a night two of Wrestle Kingdom later on in January, for those who don't know.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. I think we all need to keep a level head about this thing. Everybody's really excited about the prospect of what Sasha Banks. What up, Chad? Respect, man. Appreciate you. You know, you have to understand at the end of the day, there's a distinct difference between saying somebody's going to appear and somebody's going to wrestle, my brother. So, and I think you just articulated that perfectly. So what we can do is just go into this situation and realize that, hey, listen, we're probably going to lay eyes on Sasha Banks for the first time in about 6 months. That's a good thing. That's a step in the right direction. Hopefully she'll get involved. Hey, listen, you got to look at both sides of the fence, right? I'm not comparing Sable to Sasha Banks. That's just the only comparison I can think of. Sable appeared in WCW in the front row, had a short interaction with Kevin Nash. It led to nothing. So let's not get our hopes super up. But at the same time, hey, listen, there's definitely a reason to be excited.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of good to possibly come from this. And even if it's on a short-term basis, this elevates New Japan no matter what. New Japan's being talked about before their WrestleMania show. So this is working for publicity reasons for it. Damon comes in and says, kind of saw this coming. She's been adamant on going to Japan even before she left WWE. And Matt Lopez comes in with the official news. New Japan announced a second Wrestle Kingdom for 121, I believe. So Sasha versus the IWGP Women's Champion is possible. And remember, along with the news and rumors, Sean, they said she will not be taking any bookings until the new year. Remember all those places were trying to book her. She can't do anything until 2023.
Right.
So things got weird. Uh-oh. I think Sean may have to give a history lesson real quick. Somebody put Sable appeared for WCW. Oh, how they forget when they didn't live through it.
ML, my brother ML, welcome. Appreciate your support. I know I speak with Conrad as well. You're always welcome here. Thank you very much. Yes, there was a short time, I believe in 99 or either early 2000, one or the other, where Sable appeared in WCW. It was one of those kind of on a much more low budget feel, a more of an invasion situation where like it, the person wasn't scheduled to be in the building, wasn't a person that was on the card for Nitro, but she appeared front row. The camera acknowledged her. Tony Schiavone acknowledged her. And Kevin Nash acknowledged her, but nothing unfortunately came of it. We all thought it might, especially with the Kevin Nash interaction. And when I say interaction, I mean Kevin Nash went over, admired her, and kept it pushing. But Rena Mero was on WCW television on a one-time-only situation.
Yeah, it was very, like, if you go look in the archives for it, it's very brief.
Yes.
And I don't think anything was even going to come of it at that time. And her husband used to work there beforehand. If you guys remember Johnny B. Badd at the time, yeah. They were together. That was before you knew who Sable or Rena Mero was before then. Mm-hmm. Big T said that Sasha's a perfect fit for New Japan. Okay. And Matt, thanks you for the knowledge drop. Yes. Okay. I love it. I love when we can educate on some old school pro wrestling.
I'm not going to get corny on here, man, but let's call a spade a spade. And I say this with the utmost humility and appreciation. This whole Conrad-Sean combination, it's the best of both worlds. New school, old school, the whole nine yards. We got you covered, man. So ML and everybody else, it's our pleasure, man.
Yeah, you guys may want to keep some of those questions locked up. I think we're going to be doing a Q&A episode
nice
soon.
Segue, my man.
You know how I do it. You know how I do it. E has joined us. He said one time for the one time. What is good? Positively, E.
And you know where the ones, too, by the way.
Chad says he went to a WWE holiday show over the weekend. It was great. Got a photo with Pete Dunne and Ridge. I believe this was Jamie Noble's last wrestling show. Did you catch that?
I did catch wind of Noble's last appearance. I saw it on social media.
Yeah. All I was missing was hearing him yell, Nydia! Nydia! Yeah,
there was a very short time, it was a little blip on the radar, but there was a short time where he was over.
Oh, yeah, he was very over. There was a time when he was in Ring of Honor, too. People may forget. He is the guy who beat CM Punk for the Ring of Honor championship before he left for WWE. James Gibson. But absolutely amazing stuff. Getting back into this Sasha stuff here, Sean, let's tackle Naomi first. Mm-hmm. What is going to happen with Naomi with all this? Is it a package deal, do you think, with these two? Because all I'm hearing is Sasha, 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 but we don't hear anything about Naomi. But she's been recently seen hanging out with Jay Cargill at a basketball game.
Right.
And Sasha was just there after Survivor Series happened too, which made that kind of feel, that's weird.
Right.
So I want to get your thoughts.
I want to tackle this, my brother and everybody watching and listening, with a very respectful tone, though it's going to seem disrespectful at first. Let me start off by saying that I think Naomi is an outstanding talent. But at the same time, we all must be real with ourselves and understand that Naomi is a little bit second place as it relates to the comparison with Sasha Banks. No disrespect. I think Sasha Banks is a top five female performer in the world. So to say that Naomi's not quite on that level is not a disrespectful comment towards her. Now, to answer your question, I think Naomi was kind of right place, right time. As I said before, she and Naomi, and Sasha built this friendship that started to become and cultivate through their tag team championship reign. It ended up starting on TV and ended up cultivating off of television. You started to see them in football games with Titus O'Neil, et cetera. And then you had a situation where, okay, you know what? Sasha has an issue with management. Naomi recognized and agreed with that issue with management, and they ended up walking out together. Now, Sasha has a little bit more wiggle room. I think she's in more demand. But at the same time, we all have to remember, and I want everybody in the comment section to acknowledge this if you agree, no pun intended, Sasha doesn't have the same in WWE that Naomi has. Naomi has a distinct advantage when it comes to WWE, and that's her husband, her family, the bloodline, and a natural storyline that's been on the table for a year, which is Naomi joining the bloodline. Now, does that mean that she's definitely coming back to WWE? Absolutely not. There's a distinct possibility she could go to AEW. I saw her, Conrad, with Jade Cargill at that basketball game. Definitely a distinct possibility. But at the end of the day, I think the way it's going to play out is I think that Sasha's going to move on and Naomi's going to go back. That's just my take on it.
Interesting. Good, excellent points when it comes to what you said there, when it comes to it. I see some people in the chat saying they don't know how to feel yet about the whole thing. I personally think Sasha Banks is a star. I've seen some back and forth on this where some people were like, you know, I've been seeing the hate, and that's what's been bothering me more so, Sean, the hatred that Sasha Banks is getting. I don't know how many times you're going to ask somebody, this goes back, I keep calling it this, and you guys can, I want it coined after me. You just say Conrad Cushman started this movement. They're trying to Macho Man Randy Savage her, and she's not going for it. People aren't falling for this anymore. Sasha, you're so important to this company. You mean so much. And then you need her to put on good matches when Ronda's not there. But then when Ronda decides, you know what? I feel like wrestling this week or this year. I'm going to show up. You can't just all of a sudden have Sasha Banks show up and work miracles again to make her credible.
Right.
That's not fair, and she knows her worth. She's like, no, I'm not going to keep doing it, and I'm sure that's what the problem was. How much money are you paying her, and how much money are you paying me? Mm-hmm. Nah, that ain't cool. It's the same thing Punk went through. It's the same thing Macho Man Randy Savage went through. Yeah, you were the WWF champion for a year, but you were getting played, bro. Like, you knew who the main event was. You knew who was touching Elizabeth. You knew what was going on.
I'm just interjecting, and I want you to finish your point. And can we assume, even though nobody's a bigger Macho Man fan than I am, but would Macho Man have become WWE champion in 1988 had Hogan not had to go away to do the movie?
That is another what-if moment that you could always ask when it comes to pro wrestling. But I personally just keep telling people are tired of that role. And you know Vince is lying to them the whole time. He'll tell you you're so important and I need you here and you mean so much. But without the number twos and threes, it just doesn't look as good, you know? So if you're okay with that role, cool. Like if you're cool with being Randy Orton, that's fine. That's great. But Randy Orton to me seems more like he has a locker room leadership presence versus I got a call on you when I need you to do something. Randy seems like he can say no. He can be like, nah, I'm not doing that.
I would agree with that. And just to piggyback off the Sasha Banks situation, if I were Sasha Banks with all the heat, and I mean good heat that she has right now, I would go back to WWE with a Chris Jericho kind of deal. I'd be like, listen, I wrestle for you guys part-time, and I have the freedom to leave if I want to. I would work this. This could be Sasha Banks' moment. Sasha Banks could carve out her own niche. And if WWE says, no, we need a 2-year commitment, we need a 5-year commitment, Sasha Banks can say, okay, well, nice knowing you.
If I'm a pro wrestler, I would even get away from the 3-year deals. I'd say 2 is the max.
There you go.
And then they need to decide where they're going to go. So I brought up before, though, the whole how Sasha feels, how Sasha's been treated, and you handled Naomi perfectly with what you had said. Naomi's got options. She's got family in on the WWE side of things. If she wanted to go back, they could easily hook her up too. But when it comes to all of this, I want to be smart businessmen for a second. I want everyone to put on the business hat before I go into the comment section here, and I want everyone to think about this, you included, Sean.
I'll put on a fake hat
because
I don't
want to
mess up my hair.
See, that's that bougie we've been talking about. That's that bougie.
That was for you, brother. I'm just messing around.
No, but as a business person, can New Japan Pro Wrestling afford Sasha? I mean, I know it's technically at the end of the day her decision, but we have to think about this. Sasha wants big money. You listened to the Stone Cold podcast with her, I assume. You heard how she was talking on there. She's talking, she wants to eat steak and shrimp now. She's done with the hot dogs and handshakes, she said. She wants the steak and shrimp. If that's what Vince is eating, that's what she's eating. So she knows, bro. She knows. Do you think that someone else is funding this deal? Because I personally believe someone else is funding this deal, and it ain't New Japan, but I think it's someone who they're very close with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just putting it out there. I think TK's funding it. I'm saying it. That's my line. I think Tony Khan is funding this deal. This is Sasha's dream. You said, this is your dream. I want to build this good relationship. New Japan, you want her first? You got her. Go ahead, be my guest. And now nobody knows, are we bringing her in? Maybe, maybe not. Saraya's got a mystery partner, and they pushed it all the way out until January 11th, a whole month away. Why would you do that?
I mean, at this point, I'm not going to digress, but for 2 seconds. At this point, you better have a big-time partner if you're going to push it back a month.
Big time, big time. Let's get into some of the comments here. We'll let the chat speak. We are for the people. Big T said, I really thought Naomi would return to WWE by now. I think a lot of us thought that at this point.
Even though Sasha has more momentum, Naomi has a lot of momentum too. So Naomi can hold out a little bit too. Naomi is doing her thing, and Naomi has, and I agree. Let me start by saying, Big T, I agree with you. But Naomi's gonna, this is her, she kind of stumbles into a big opportunity here, and now she's gonna take advantage of it.
E says wrong. Sis has been working there since the old NXT, and they were champs that decided to leave together. Don't try and portray Naomi. But E, I think what Sean was trying to say is that Sasha clearly is though the bigger star. I think he missed your point with it.
Of course you did.
I think Naomi's great, but Sasha's the star. Listen, I don't even think they should have been in a tag team. I hated that too. Personally, I didn't like it for the whole, like, Sasha's on the losing streak at WrestleMania, and then this was her big moment for the tag titles with Naomi and a thrown together team.
I guess
it felt weird.
I guess this is the come for Sean day today, because I didn't say anything close to that, but okay.
Naomi is a great wrestler, but Sasha's a star, and at this point she doesn't need wrestling. Naomi can go back to WWE. Naomi doesn't have to wrestle either, though, truthfully. I'm sure she's fine. Sasha and Naomi are black women standing up for people's favorite company. Of course, she's catching bullets online. Let's not forget, Punk caught some of them strays standing up for them. Yeah, I did see that too when Punk got hate for saying stand up for your workers. And then that's, truthfully, this actually bleeds into the whole AEW situation. And that's the talking about workers' rights. It came from this.
That's a fact.
B-Boy Skyline said Banks needs to get more Star Wars jobs. She doesn't need WWE anymore. Yeah, but you got to have a bunch of those lined up. So, and she's known for pro wrestling. Plus, I wasn't expecting Raquel, at that show. She won over Shayna. Plus, Shayna ripped off Raquel's arm cast. Okay, we got a lot happening in the women's division. Think about all the guys that just hold mid-card belts and are gatekeepers. Yeah, that's true. Big T thinks it's Tony Khan, too. He thinks it's Big TK. He thinks he's funding it. What do you think, Sean? You think it's Tony for sure, or do you think it's...
I think so. I think this is the AEW New Japan collabo, the remix.
B-Boy went crazy with it. He says he thinks it's the mouse funding the deal. Disney reaching out and saying, hey, let's get some crossover over there, too. Could be. Sasha doesn't need WWE. I'm talking like Michael Cole now. Sasha can continue to make a name for herself outside of the WWE. Let's see here. I hope Naomi returns soon. Naomi needs to do something, BJ said. Bloodline could work. Sasha should go. Yeah. I always thought Naomi should have been in the Bloodline with them. They could have added her easily. I think it's a one-shot deal, and they can give her a lot of incentive money on the back end. I'm not saying New Japan's broke either. Don't get me wrong when I'm saying that. This isn't like a, with all due respect, MLW Impact situation to where the monies are too, they're this far apart.
No, it's just the money's different.
Yeah, the money is very different. But you can make some good bread in New Japan and come back, though. Like, if you're trying to collect checks, people have always said New Japan will pay you well if they want you there. Yeah, good points here. On a Moxley run, sorry for the split messages. You're good, BJ. Nick, what's good, man? I appreciate you, bro, joining us. I think it's Tony, and I'll say she comes back just like Cody. Ooh, interesting.
Oh, she's not a sellout.
Moving on to the next deal here. Let's talk a little Ring of Honor, Sean. Did you happen to catch Final Battle?
I caught the tail end of it. I know who won the world title. I didn't see the whole show. I'm not going to lie to you.
We're going to go over that. But what I really wanted to talk about at first here, Sean, was did you see the Tony Khan media scrum press conference following the pay-per-view?
I did. Oh, my God. It's always an adventure.
Always an adventure with TK in the house. Tony Khan did have an official announcement that Ring of Honor, their weekly television show, I knew once he started talking for that long period of time, they didn't have a deal set up. They didn't have a television show. Because exactly. When it takes you that long to answer the question, I'm like, you dancing, bro. What's up?
Yeah, he was working on it behind the scenes.
So Honor Club is going to be where it is hosted for $9.99 a month. You're going to get access to all the old Ring of Honor content. So if you wanted to check out classic CM Punk, the Briscoes, Samoa Joe, you guys could go back and check all that out. But with all of this, now it's also going to be an app on iOS, Android, Roku, Amazon Fire TV. They've got some things happening with this. I mean, they're trying. Personally, Sean, I feel it was a disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big letdown for what he was trying to do. But your partner is cutting costs left and right. Batman Beyond, done. They didn't want to see Michael Keaton. I know all of the old school Batman fans were hurt once I heard that news. They've got James Gunn trying to figure out what they're doing with DC, and he's trying to figure that out. You got people coming for his head. Pew, pew, pew. It's just left and right. They're trying to dodge bullets too right now. So I don't know, man. This was an L to me. I wanted to get your thoughts on it. Like,
it screams Global Force Wrestling app to me. That's what it screams.
Like the we're selling gold, or
I'll be the first to admit I ordered one month subscription of the Global Wrestling Force or whatever because I wanted to see the old school TNA stuff. Right. Don't make fun of him. He's a legend in this industry. We go through this every week. But on a serious note, I basically had an opportunity to order that, and you know it was cool, nostalgic wise. But you know I think it'll work out similarly. I think a lot of people will subscribe, and I think a lot of people will end the subscription. As much as we complain about WWE, their archives are so crazy good that's why we continue to subscribe. Plus, the pay per views are free. Now, as part of the subscription. So obviously we're going to stick with it. I don't see the same momentum with Ring of Honor. It's going to take a lot to prove me wrong. I hope I am proven wrong, but I don't see it happening. I don't see it being massively successful.
I think it takes time to build that library up,
yeah,
too.
No doubt.
Once you have access to those things, okay. And I think Tony Khan, so when he mentioned it, Sean, that they were going to work together, New Japan Pro Wrestling got brought up, and he said, yeah, we'll have more details on it after Wrestle Kingdom. Why is New Japan so focused in on this as well?
Oh, this pay-per-view is they're trying to build this up as the biggest ever. And they're trying to maneuver it to make people in our wrestling fan minds think it's going to be the biggest ever. There's some strategic planning, everything from what you said earlier about Saraya announcing her partner a month away, to the Sasha Banks rumors, to all this stuff. I mean, it's serious. But as we all know, I'm going to be a little bit realistic now. As we all know, when you have this kind of buildup and this kind of hype and the rumor mill starts churning, there's always a hope that it works out, but there's always the reality that this may be a big, huge flop. I mean, Mickie James could be the mystery partner. You don't know. And that's no disrespect to Mickie James, but like, we're so fired up about it. And we're so fired up about Wrestle Kingdom that we're kind of like overlooking the fact that the ball could be dropped.
It very well could be. I'm just curious to know the involvement. I feel like they're doing this Super Friends thing right now where, you know what? We don't have the biggest library, but if we all unite, if New Japan, Impact, MLW, we all stick together. And Tony Khan said, he's like, well, I'll outlast all of you. So let's all just work together. We could do some pretty cool things. I'm a wrestling fan. Let's do some cool stuff. And we could stick it to the other guys. because Tony seemed hurt by a lot of the stuff that's been going on with the whole, like, Triple H tweeting out the War Games. I don't know if you saw that. I got into it with someone over Demolition in the Hall of Fame when it comes to the games that WWE will play with you. And it's their right for them to do that stuff. But this Honor Club stuff, it's kind of interesting, too. I'm not saying that the deal is done yet, because think, AEW still has to get their new television rights deal. And if you are a... I don't want to come on here and give stock advice, but if you hold WWE stock, it's almost that time for them too. So eyes and ears need to be open at all times with the business dealings for that, because the television deals are what the live gates used to be. That is your bread and butter today.
Tremendous point you make. I just want to make one more point about the streaming services. I hate to admit this because I have so many issues with WWE television and WWE storylines, and we talked about this and we'll continue to talk about it. But WWE has the market on streaming on Smash. Their model is undeniable. When you include pay-per-views, premium live events, whatever, as part of your subscription service, that for that at that price point, that's a win. UFC is not doing that. UFC has a streaming service. They don't include pay-per-views.
If Ring of Honor would have offered that, I would have took them up on that.
I would have too.
I think they made a big error in it. And Joel said he subscribed to Honor Club. And I don't know if he had it previously or if he just re-upped again for it. But that could have been a big selling point to me. Because no offense, Sean, I'm not paying $10 a month to watch your weekly television program. And then you expect me to spend $40 every couple months on a pay-per-view? Nah.
It's absolutely ridiculous. There's no rhyme or reason for a fan to do that. And I saw a comment about.
I was going to go through them slowly. Down the line here. Let's go with some of the comments here as far as the Ring of Honor stuff here. Six says, I don't know, man. Triple H just approved Carl Nobody Anderson to wrestle in New Japan. Maybe he cut the same deal with Sasha. Could be. Triple H has been working some New Japan magic too lately, which is weird. But also, I want to give Naomi her flowers. Where is she going? Is she done? We had just spoke about that, I think.
I think Naomi will be back in WWE, and I think she'll be very successful because I do think Naomi's a very talented wrestler, in case somebody missed that the last time I said it.
Right. Reality says Cody went back because he wanted Punk, Brian, and Jericho money. Tony said no, which makes sense. They were the big names in WWE. And what did me and Sean say, I think, on episode one? Cody played himself, bro. You played yourself out of the world title picture, so you kept your money. Why would you do that?
Dumb.
And no, but you know what? I will say it was honorable for what he was doing because he wouldn't be catching the heat that now I think the Bucks and Kenny are catching with this whole best of seven. I'm sick of it. I'm like, dog, come on, man. Like, I don't need to see you guys every week against the same people. It's going to be good matches, but come on, man. It's the same thing over and over.
Don't pigeonhole yourself, like you just said. That's the dumb part. The honor, no pun intended, of him not being in the world title picture as a boss, I respect that completely. But don't contractually make it so that you can never challenge for the world title again.
I think it's because I've been watching old shoot interviews, Sean, at least before I was born, probably a year or two before, and they were talking about how Dusty had booked himself sometimes. You know, Dusty coming out with the Road Warriors. Dusty going to take that U.S. title, baby. I'm sorry, Stinger, Luger, baby. Y'all going to face Ric Flair, but I'm going to come out there. I'm going to have to bulldog someone, baby. I'm going to have to drop that bionic elbow on somebody. Yeah, I'm booking it, but I got to win, you know? And that's how Dusty was back then, man. And people love Dusty, but when you're the booker, more money equals more problems. Dutch Mantel once said it best. When everything is going great creatively, the talent get the credit. The Rock, Stone Cold. When it's bad, it's the booker man's fault. Fire the booker man. So, and I think it's true. BJ said this is TK's second biggest fumble of 2022. He also had the first by not getting the Ultimo Dragon pick with FTR. Two big L's. We're going to get into that, too, here in a second. He said, I don't know, man. This should have been on the channel. This is going to fail. We'll see. I think it'll last temporarily. This doesn't mean the deal is closed. Because when it's time for them to get something, he's going to say, I've got more programming for you. Let's do something with it. Matt said he wanted that Batman Beyond so bad. TK said he needs to show ROH on AEW TV to get people. People need to stop bitching. Y'all act like they putting on MLW with the Von Erich matches
facts.
On.
Facts.
Are the Von Erichs bad? I thought I always liked them. I thought they were cool.
I like the Von Erichs too, but I understand the point you're trying to make.
Let's see here. Big T said it would have just been better to keep Ring of Honor on the shelf. I think they why not put it on YouTube? You have a big YouTube channel with a bunch of people. Use it. Separate the brands. I think personally, when they go to film in where did TNA used to film? Universal Studios, they should set that up to be Ring of Honor's place. Like different look, different feel, and just do a bunch of matches in there and then get it going with those guys. Because the roster thing, even Sean, he made it sound like he didn't know. And y'all better cut it out with that Jeff Jarrett stuff in the chat. I see it. No, I do, but they always just the wee. That TNA theme hurts my soul, bro. I've seen so many people lose titles as soon as I heard it. But I don't know. Ring of Honor could be something so much better. And I think he just went the wrong route with this one. But we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about for it. ROH under TK by default is better than Global Force and all of them TNA Pyramid Scam Post Hogan, Bischoff, and Harvey. Big T said, I wonder where they're going to film ROH. Who knows? Maybe they'll try to do it with Rampage. Like, the Rampage shows are just squash matches until you get to the hour-long show.
I will say this. You have a chance now to have, I guess you can have ROH, like you said, on Fridays, and now and then every Friday can be live.
It could be. It could be. What up, Doug? I see you in the chat. We also got our Crump 804. What up, Conrad and Sean? Y'all two are the two goats. Been a fan since I watched y'all on Malik's podcast.
Thanks, man.
I appreciate that, bro.
Very nice. Thank you so much.
Come on over and subscribe to us both. Links in the description. Show us some love, man. I appreciate that, Crump, man. That means a lot. As hard as it was, you know what was another thing, too? While we're talking business, Sean, why couldn't they have went the route that they did with Dynamite? So imagine you live across the pond.
Mm-hmm.
You're paying your money to fight TV. Why isn't there an AEW ROH thing for both? They shouldn't have to pay for Dynamite to watch that show and then pay for Ring of Honor again. You're bleeding these people's pockets, man.
That's crazy. If you're paying for Dynamite, something else should be included.
Yeah. I think you could just get more for the package deal of what it is. As hard as it was to navigate Peacock, you're right. That's a package you can't be. I hate the way Peacock is set up. I miss the WWE Network personally.
The thing about the network that I love that I miss is the fact that you can go to specific points in the show and like lock in and it'll take you directly. And they had like little subtitles of each segment of every show. That was amazing.
Yeah.
But not anymore.
VJ brings up a good point about that I could watch Impact on YouTube for less than $2. Actually, each episode of Impact is a quarter because that is what I pay for when I watch Impact.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, each of the matches of the Best of Five series has been different. It's the same to me. It's bleeding into the same territory. It's great. It's super kick. I'm waiting for let's get to the finish. And maybe that's my hatred for them coming out, but I feel like the matches are the same. I was not a fan of this being a best of seven because this was a match you could always go back to because it's always good. But when you do it seven times straight, now I don't want to see this match for a long time when this is done. So you kind of thrown away a match that you had always in your back pocket if you needed it. I'd respect Coney if he wasn't phony and gave himself that Nash Dusty booking. Cody and Brandy, terrible. Global Farce Wrestling, America. Y'all are wild. Nah, CJ, can't agree. Can't turn ROH into AEW Dark. Are you referring to putting it? I'm not saying make the matches squash matches in the arena. I'm saying you have to have a different look for it. Like, I liked how the pay-per-view looked for it. Doug said, reread that comment. Each match I've seen of the Best of Seven series has been different.
I took that as every match has been different as far as the way it was booked.
And the way it was wrestled, I guess. I personally just don't believe it. But Sean, we had a heck of a lineup for this show. I was more so disappointed in the build for this. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I did not order Ring of Honor Final Battle. I did not because of the build for this. I thought the build was very poorly done. Look at all these matches in here.
If you want it to be notarized better, you have to push it better. I don't think AEW is a... Forgive me for lumping AEW and ROH together. Obviously, that's a natural lumping, right? I don't think they promote their pay-per-views properly.
I think they... So, the dog collar match had me almost ready to do it when they announced that tag title match, but... On here, Sean, I mean, what? Give me your top three matches that you'd be excited for.
I mean, any match with Jericho, and it's going to excite me. The FTR Briscoe match is cool. And I'm not a fan of Athena, so no. I guess you can go, I hate to say cliche, it's like cliche because I'm going top three matches on the card. But, yeah, I would say... Jericho, Claudio, FTR, Briscoes, and Joe and Juice.
There you go. I mean, and even Juice, like, these were all announced within a week or two of the show. Garcia and Yuta, we had no clue what they were doing beforehand. These matches on the bottom with Shane Taylor and Swerve in Our Glory, I'm glad to see Shane Taylor get an opportunity. Definitely agree with that. But... JD Griffey was on Dark before this. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I realized it because I actually watched Dark and I was like, the dude from AEW Dark? And I was like, okay, that's weird. And Blake Christian, AR Fox, great wrestlers, but this match made no sense to me. Like, why they just threw this together. I just want more from them. And I know that people were complaining about it being on AEW television, but how are you going to build these pay-per-views going forward if you expect someone to pay $10 now to be built towards a pay-per-view that you want more money from? It's weird. It's a weird thing. Cray said that he wants Sean to embrace the villain role of the show. You know, I always say the villain who will tell a lie is no longer the villain. He is now the hero.
Cray, I appreciate you. I think Conrad will agree with what I'm about to say. Be careful what you wish for. I don't think that that's a route that anybody would be very happy with, but I can tell by the tone of your message, of your comment, that you meant that in very good taste. But just understand that when people get on my bad side, it's not a good thing. Conrad has seen me angry before, genuinely angry, and that's not a pleasant thing.
Right. He said the pay-per-view was fire, and bro, I agree. I thought the pay-per-view was great too. I'm not saying the pay-per-view was. But the build and the pay-per-view are two different things, to me at least. And he said, Excalibur breathlessly yelling at me on Rampage. Yeah, that man, he needs a raise for that. Well, they're running two companies at once with 3 hours of TV they don't get enough credit for. That's true.
I agree. That's a solid comment.
And Doug said most of those matches have been on TV already. Yeah. Yeah. Getting into this, I mean... I saw some people complaining. I got to give a shout out to my guy, AE Dub, on Twitter. The homie has retweeted some of our shows and stuff like that, so I got to show him love. But he put a take up that he hated the finish to the Jericho match, Sean.
Yeah. He hated
it. Now, did you see how it ended?
Of course I did. And
the 30 swings and then the tap out on the swings.
It was it was different. You got to get the mat. It was different. I can honestly say I've never seen that before. Have you?
So here's what I told people. People who didn't like it, I was like, I can tell that you're not the little brother. Because right. The big brother, I've been doing the swinging on somebody like that. Right. They're like, yo, put me down, dog, put me down. And you're just having way too much fun. Yeah, I know. Don't try this at home, kids. I still encourage facts, that message, facts, too. Facts. But when you're messing around with stuff like that, bro, it happens. And... it makes sense. Jericho has said timeless times, that he hates taking that move. It's scary. When he was on top of that cage, I know he was ready to poop bricks. He was up there getting swung around like there's nothing holding him, and he's on top of a cage being swung. If this dude trips, gets dizzy, it's over.
I hate to say it like this. He's done, like as in done breathing.
Yeah, it could be over. Yeah. So... I thought it was interesting. I didn't hate the finish personally. I liked it. I thought it was something different that they tried to do and it worked. That's just me. Because usually you're waiting for the sharpshooter or whatever. I didn't hate it.
There was a corniness to it, but at the same time, it was one of those things you had to think about it afterwards. It was like, okay, that wasn't that bad. Like, that was different. It was unique.
Oh, he said, "I'll buy Honor Club of Captain Insanos on it." Well, I enjoyed most of the matches. ASAP, what's good, Ace? Appreciate you, man. Yo, ASAP, what I thought. I'm glad this feud is over. If I see another BCC JAS match, I'm going to lose my mind. This should be done. Chris Jericho has a really bad habit, I feel, since he started in AEW, that he lets his feuds go on too long. Like Orange Cassidy, I'm like, bro, it's over, fam. It's over. Hang him up. Yeah. You don't need to be doing this anymore. He was past it. Like, the Kingston feud bled into this, and his feuds just keep bleeding into each other, and then they go on for too long. But I want to talk about one particular match, Sean. The dog collar match, bro. This joint was pure joy as a wrestling fan. This is what I live for when I talk about pro wrestling. Horrible build. And I get why. They couldn't bring it up because the Briscoes aren't allowed to even be mentioned on television, right? Apparently.
Right.
But Tony Khan has them signed. I don't know at this point. I get both sides of it. Like, they said some horrible things in the past. And it actually, I heard, cost them a WWE, like, NXT tryout. But they said sorry. I don't know what else more you want from them. And I just keep seeing people bringing up, like, the pictures of them wearing the Confederate flags, things like that. And this is just my opinion on it. They've apologized. The Briscoes are characters. I think we can try to let bygones be bygones. I mean, if you want them to participate in a campaign, let's do that then. If they're actually sorry, I don't think they'll have an issue with it. I just don't know what it's going to take for them to get proper build. And I'll say this. This is the best trilogy of matches, Sean, without great buildup. Like, this was all social media build between the three of them.
Like you said, they can't really build it up the way they want to because of circumstances.
Dax Harwood had the best response. I don't know if you saw PWI had ranked the best tag teams, and Usos were number one. It's a kayfabe list, supposedly.
Right. Right.
And the Briscoes came out and responded, "Usos number one, my backside." That's not what he wrote, though.
Yeah, he said,
"You know that we should be on that list way higher." And he was like, Dax Harwood quotes, he was like, "Yeah, number two." And I was like, "Oh!" And FTR crushed it in this match. Like, if you guys didn't see this match, I highly recommend you go back and look at it. This is a tame view of what ended up happening in this. Look at Jay Briscoe's face here. I don't even know if I could show this for too long, but this was an incredible matchup. I want you to know Dax Harwood's tights were white when this match started, like pure white. You couldn't even tell what color they were by the end of this.
Okay.
This was a bloody matchup. It gave me vibes of Greg the Hammer Valentine, Roddy Piper.
Yeah, I mean,
it was definitely
a throwback match, and it was an amazingly wrestled match, and it was an amazing, amazing story that was told. I mean, kudos to all four guys. They darn near killed each other.
Yeah, it was an incredible match, an incredible beatdown. Someone says it's time to break up. Jericho is going to say he's being held back by the others. Watch. Instead of the Dudley Boys, it's Team 3D. Don't call them the Briscoes. They are just dim boys. Briscoes are great wrestlers, but as a brand, they're F, Six says. He's not wrong, though. I mean, they're kind of black.
Not wrong.
That stuff came back. E said, "I'm with FTR bald. How do I get a replay?" If you want to go back and watch this, they do have it on BR Live and Fight TV are the two ways I know that you can go back and watch it. What a bloody war. Big T said it was an instant classic. Yeehaw, that match had some giddy up. Okay. Okay. And I'll show you guys the finish of the match right here. Dax Harwood was eventually, like, choked out by the chain, and his partner tried to get in, but Mark Briscoe fell down on his backside and, like, held his foot against the stairs, and he couldn't get in, or maybe it was the apron. And it was just a lovely, like, he basically passed out, and that's how they lost the Ring of Honor tag team titles. Afterwards, the Guns jump in, put a beat down on him. So Billy Gunn's kids are going to be going after him. And the Briscoes made the save, and then you got that wonderful pose with all of them at the end. Sean, I don't know if I've ever been able to say this in years, but I think we have three matches right here that could be considered match of the year contenders from these three teams. Like, they're on the list, and I'm going to come out with the list, and I want Sean to vote. I want everyone to vote that's in here. Think about it. I got 10 categories. It's going to be a Google list this time because I'm not paying any money to SurveyMonkey for that crap ever again. But I want everyone to vote, tell me their match of the year. And, like, there's when I was putting it together, Sean, my mind was blown. Number one, how many times someone from FTR popped up on that list?
Right.
And there's another person who pops up a lot, Speedball Mike Bailey. Mm-hmm. And it's just been an incredible year, I think, for pro wrestling as far as match quality has gone. Like, it's been great.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's a testament to, like you said, the just not looking at it with single focal glasses. I'm not coming up with the right word, but broadening your horizons and realizing there are other great opportunities out there for crazy good matches if people are willing to book them.
Yeah, 100%. And their contracts are coming up soon, too. And they've made remarks that maybe they don't re-sign right away after their contracts expire.
Maybe so.
Maybe they go and work and they just do shot deals for a year on the indie scene and New Japan and stuff.
That would not be bad business. It would not be bad business.
And they still hold the AAA and New Japan tag title, so I'm sure we're going to see them coming up at some of these shows. But personally, I think you got three match of the year contenders there for them. So food for thought. And if you haven't seen them, highly, highly recommend that you go and check those out. But Sean, we got to end this show right, man. We got to end this show right. Okay. We got to talk a little NXT, bro. They came in with a new matchup here for NXT Deadline. The Iron Survivor Challenge, good sir. What did you think of this?
The concept was cool on paper. I don't think it played out as great as they probably wanted it to.
Was it better than Championship Scramble for you?
No. I thought the Championship Scramble was a better concept.
You were rooting for Brian Kendrick that night, weren't you?
Of course I was.
He's the man with the plan.
Yeah, I thought the Scramble's concept was a little bit better. I mean, I will always remember that classic Jericho win when Punk got knocked out before the match. I don't think it lived up to that. I mean, it was cool. It was cool. I mean, but it wasn't like groundbreaking. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely something different when it came to it. And a lot of people are saying, who was it rooting for Kendrick back then? Doug said,
facts. Yeah. Facts.
Yeah. Kendrick had a pretty cool character at the time back then. I particularly enjoyed Hater versus Storm with the crowd cheering. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was some good stuff, too, reality. Ease cracking up at something here. New Day versus Pretty Deadly. That was a really good match, too. I really did enjoy that.
Big surprise.
Roxanne Perez, formerly known as Roxy in Ring of Honor, won her match. I think she was doing her best AJ Lee and Lita tribute right here. But I liked it. I thought this was an interesting matchup here.
I think the right woman won, by the way.
Really? Were you impressed by anyone else, though, in the match?
I mean, Kylie J, I think her name was.
Kiana James?
Yeah, she was good.
And she didn't get a pinfall either, but I thought she was really good.
But I think Perez, I think her winning made the most sense to me. That was good booking as far as storyline purposes.
She's going to give you the best matchup, I feel like, out of all of them. And I feel like NXT is still in this reset period of what they're trying to do and what they're trying to get over. Here comes Derek. Roxanne is my girl. Yeah, I bet you're a big fan. Doug said the penalty box reminded me of the King of the Mountain match. Did you hate that part of it, Shaw? Were you like, oh, here we go. You got to go on the penalty.
I thought the penalty box was kind of corny, especially I think outside the box, especially considering we're just finishing up with War Games. I thought it was a low-budget War Games.
Right. Damon says, I thought it was cool. Need to tweak it a little bit, but the action was dope, especially when they were beating each other up in the penalty box. See, he liked it. I thought it made for some interesting things for time to time, something to jump off of for some people. Cray said, I don't know how I feel about the match. It was all over the place. The penalty box took me out of it a little bit.
I agree with Cray.
Interesting. Cora Jade looked great too, Jason said. Yeah, I think Cora's much better as a heel than when she was trying to do her whole deal. Did you catch the
the best wrestler in a relationship.
Did you catch the Isla Dawn and Alba Fire match with the referee, like with the blood? So people were comparing it.
Yes.
So people were comparing it in the dog collar match. The referee actually gets punched with the chain, and he took a little color, we'll just say, to the head.
Yeah.
And in this one, we got referees with black goo coming out their mouth, like Papa Shango just got them with the Ultimate Warrior. So what did you think of that? Like, was one too much? Were they both on equal levels of bad? Like, did you hate the ref blading too?
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit extreme. Like, I mean, no pun intended. It was just one of those deals where it was like, okay, maybe we're pushing it a little bit too much for this kind of match. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, this is not, like, it wasn't necessary. Does that make any sense? It just wasn't necessary. So I felt right. Like a little bit of a push. So, but it was all right.
Six said he thought the men's version was better and the time in the penalty box should be longer. Booker T is growing on me on commentary. Derek said the match was a little different.
It was.
I don't know if that means good or bad. Papa Shango, yes. Y'all knew when Ultimate Warrior came out in that stupid coat, something bad was about to happen. You
Why
knew.
Was he wearing that ridiculous? I mean, like you said, you knew something was up.
Did you, I remember that as a kid, though. I don't know why. I can never get that out of my mind when Warrior was like puking when he was going to the back on the gurney. I'll never forget that. I don't know why.
I remember. And I also remember wishing that Papa Shango would have finished the job.
So, Jason.
I did not like the Ultimate Warrior. I like the. Look, rest in peace to the Warrior. I have utmost respect for him as a human being, but he was terrible. Even as a 10-year-old kid, 7-year-old kid, he made me sick.
I have less respect for him as a human, I think, for some of the stuff that he has said. I know you meant as the in-ring worker. Right. I had to clarify that for you just in case someone tries to clip you on something.
When I was a kid, even as a little kid, I was like, finish the job, Papa Shango. Like, I was just like, get it
he's
done.
He's so mad about WrestleMania 6. Let You're it go, right brother.
You're damn right I am. You know me very well, my brother.
You know who I was rooting for at WrestleMania 6.
Let me ask you a question. Was the main event of WrestleMania 6 a 2-out-of-3 fall match?
No.
It was not a 2-out-of-3 fall match. Who won the first fall?
Warrior.
Warrior didn't win the first fall.
There was no 2-out-of-3 falls. I don't know.
I'm being facetious when I say 2-out-of-3 fall match. The referee got knocked out for 2 of the falls, right? Who got the first 3 count?
All I remember was they didn't have instant replay back in the 90s. And all I saw was brother missed the leg drop, splash. He didn't kick out in time. I'm sorry.
There were 3 counts in that match. Who got the first one?
We got to keep this show moving, folks.
So, yes, by the time 1992 rolled around, I was hoping that Papa Shango would finish the job. I hope that Papa Shango finished the job. I wanted Jake the Snake Roberts to finish the job. I wanted The Undertaker to finish the job. In 1996, I wanted Triple H to finish the job.
I love those funeral parlor segments too, by the way. Like, we could talk some old school wrestling if you guys ever want it on here, I promise you.
There you go.
Like, I won't even limit your questions when we do that Q&A that I was talking about. Anything goes. We might call it the free for all, like they used to for the old pay per view.
I like that.
Derek says it was good, just different. The black goo coming out was whack, but I like the ref catching one in the match. I agree with that. I like that the referee got punched because if they're bleeding, he should be bleeding, you know? And I do believe he was a former worker, that ref. He was a former WWE referee as well. Ultimate Warrior is WWE knockoff Sting. Come on now. They were the Blade Runners. One of my favorite scenes, Derek will tell you. I can't even think of who it is, but they were called something else before the Blade Runners. I think they were called the Freedom Fighters. And he was like, they were out there talking and they were green at the time, so they didn't know anything. And this guy, Phil Hickerson, I believe, or whatever his name was, he comes out, Phil Henderson, maybe, he said, "You two don't know nothing about wrestling. All you two know how to do is drop them britches and put them steroids in your booty."
Wow.
He's a big old, like, big dude like me. And I just laughed every time I heard him say that, bro. I was in tears.
I want to say something for all this. We'll get back and finish this up. I just want to say one more thing about the Warrior. Rest in peace to the human being. But as far as the character, he made me sick. I could not stand Jake the Snake Roberts. So the fact that I was all for Jake the Snake Roberts taking out the Warrior, that should tell you something. Because when Jake the Snake took out Macho Man and Elizabeth, I was devastated. But when he turned his attention onto the Ultimate Warrior, I had no issues. None.
Demond, this comment is dirty. He said something about Macho Man busting Warrior in the head with that scepter just felt right. Not when Sergeant Slaughter won as a kid. I was tight. So
right. Like, Macho Man costing him the title against Slaughter was the greatest thing I ever saw.
I love that match. I think that's his best match. So if someone asked me, like, what's Warrior's best match, WrestleMania 7 is my favorite, I think.
Oh, really?
Like, okay. Truly. Okay. Yeah, I love that match. Even though Hogan and him had another one that is a sleeper, but I love the storytelling in the WrestleMania 7.
I can't argue that.
Like, with the airbrush bigger than the title, I was like, woo, they were taking some shots there.
Thanks.
But getting back to this, we'll skip over that Dawn and Alba Fire match. Listen, I don't watch NXT on Tuesdays. I'll be honest with you. New Day showed up, though, and they showed out. They won the tag team belts. I was happy for the New Day.
I was happy for them, too, and it really is a nice little nod of approval for them after officially losing their ranking as the longest reigning tag champions of all time. Now they are Triple Crown tag champions. I think that's super dope.
Yeah, good for them, man. I love it. That was the right move, I felt, in my opinion, for as far as the crowd went and what they ended up doing.
Yeah.
I can't complain. Grayson Waller won the men's. This one hurt, bro. It hurt so bad because I wanted my boy Carmelo Hayes to win. I'm going to make a bold prediction, and I know, well, you might agree with this because I can't wait to hear you talk about the next match, but I think Carmelo Hayes is going to be the bigger star. He's going to be the biggest star out of all of these people in NXT. He's going to be the male standout star.
One sentence. Carmelo Hayes is pure dinero. He is money. Let's book him right, and let's shoot him straight to the moon. He is awesome.
And in our main event... You know who else they tried to book like money? Bron Breakker versus Apollo Crews. I did not like the build up to this with them fishing and everything else. And this is where I'm probably going to let Sean have his moment, because if you guys can see, I don't know if you guys have ever seen Ghost Dad, but if you remember the cab driver who was like, yes, yes, evil master. That's Sean right now. Bron Breakker gets the victory with a spear on Apollo Crews to retain the NXT championship.
Yo, Bron Breakker is so limited, bro. He is a athletic marvel. But if you saw the pay-per-view and you see that crowd, the crowd was so disinterested. And that's not Apollo Crews' fault. The star of the match is the champion. The star of the match is the guy who they continue to put over time and time again. The barking is starting to get corny, sounding like his uncle's starting to get corny. His moveset is corny. Bron Breakker needs to lose that championship and reestablish himself as somebody worth watching, because I've never been a fan. I've never seen what everybody else sees in this guy. The match was certainly not main event quality. They could have put that match on first, honestly. And I'm being dead serious. That match, Crews versus Breakker, was absolutely hard to watch. And the ending, the finish, was complete BS. I don't know what WWE sees in this guy. I don't know what my colleague and brother Conrad sees in this guy. But I'll tell you one thing. I don't see it. I do not see it. Bron Breakker is limited, and Bron Breakker is corny to me. And I don't understand how and why he's in the position that he's in, other than family ties. I'm not saying he's not an athletic marvel. I've always said Braun Strowman is an athletic marvel. He sucks, though. And Bron Breakker's starting to really remind me of that kind of wrestler, a guy that can run fast and jump high and press people above his head, but he is not in my opinion, championship material. And everybody talking about how Braun Breaker is going to be the future of WWE? Well, the future is very bleak if he's going to be the man, because I do not see it at all.
Wow. Wow, I let him have his moment. Now, I didn't interrupt or anything. I personally, I don't hate Braun. I think Braun's got potential, but I think they're, to me, I feel like the company's putting all their money and resources into Braun when I think it's Carmelo Hayes is the one. Carmelo Hayes with MVP, that's money. That's what I want to see. That is who the Hurt Business needs to recruit as. This is the future right here. This is the dude who's going to be our Intercontinental Champ, our U.S. Champ. That's who you want to have in there. And do I think that Braun's up there with them? Yeah, I think he's in the top four. Some people like Grayson Waller. I can see why, but I'm hoping Grayson Waller, maybe he's the one who takes the belt from Braun, and maybe they can transition it over to Carmelo Hayes. I don't know what their plans are for a draft or a call-up, but those two would be on my list for people who we need to look at calling up going forward. Eric Douglas said it's all about his size. That has been a WWE mantra for years. Maybe that's what it is. Cray said maybe Triple H will actually change his name. Bro, hashtag call him Rex Steiner, please. Please stop calling him. Braun Breaker is corny to me. It definitely sounds like someone from Muppet Babies or something's coming. Braun Breaker's coming over, Miss Piggy. Oh, you heard me? Like, I don't know what this is. I don't get it. I don't get what we're supposed to get out of this. Like, all right, I'm Braun and I break things, whatever it's supposed to be. A lot of people are feeling Axiom. Yeah, he had a pretty good night in this too. I like Breaker, but I thought he was going to lose last night. Nah, I don't see. Is Apollo down there for the long term?
I mean, I don't know. He certainly, I mean, Apollo needs to kind of work on his stuff too.
Yeah, with him, I think it's only promos. I think in ring, he's great.
Oh, sure, he can go out there. I think Braun Strowman. See how I'm intertwining the two. I think Braun Breaker is an athletic marvel. I just think that he needs work on his delivery, and his promos are not good. Does anybody like Braun Breaker promos?
Well, I'll say this: his father and uncle's promos were never. They were good for bad reasons. Okay. For all the wrong reasons.
First of all, Rick didn't talk that much, which is fine. Scott was funny.
But he was serious, but it wasn't supposed to be funny.
It wasn't supposed to be funny.
Give me a mic. What are you, bro? I can hear you. Holla, if you hear me. One of my favorite moments of all time.
Oh my God.
One of my favorite moments at a live event for TNA. Scott Steiner said, "Ooh, look at all these beautiful women out here in Buffalo. Who wants to touch the big bad booty daddy?" You know, he does the chest pump. He's got, I'm flexing my muscles like he was. The chest is popping. He can do all that. He's like, "Security, line these ladies up. They're going to get to come in the ring and rub oil on the largest arms in the world." Scott Steiner literally had all these girls line up. He was the head security, line them up. He said, 10, only 10 get to come in. So the security's counting them. And then he was like, "Where are we at?" And someone was like, "Buffalo." And he was like, "Oh, hold on. I don't let no girls from Buffalo."
Wow.
He called him a derogatory name. He said, "All of you sit back down." And I thought it was the best heel heat I ever heard.
That was funny.
That was Big Papa Pump is funny for all the wrong reasons, as Sean just stated.
I was in Madison Square Garden when he made his debut in 2002.
Oh, I wish, dude, that's a legendary show.
That was really good as it relates to a debut. Like, he came out and he, "This goes out to all my freaks in New York City." And the crowd went absolutely nuts.
Matt Lopez said, "Unfiltered Scott Steiner is fun to hear. Whatever happened to Commander Aziz?" I asked that same question. Apparently, he was like a bodyguard down in NXT, so I'm sure he's going through some repackaging phase. Big T, I can't put up your comment, but I definitely am laughing at it. So I see what you wrote in there. Sean said Apollo isn't going anywhere soon. Breaker needs work, but he's a physical freak, and you can't teach that. And E, thank you. E said, make sure you guys like the vid. I appreciate it. Sean, let them know what you got coming up, my good friend, on your side of things.
Appreciate it. Dropping on December 20th. We'll talk about it again next week, December 20th. Top 10 pound-for-pound boxers in the world. I will be having a special guest for that show, and it's going to be featured on Fight TV social media, so I'm really excited about that. I'm fired up about it. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get Conrad to come on my show and do some boxing stuff. Because he says he doesn't know much, but I know he does. That's just not his number one love. But, so HubbardWrestlingWeekly.com. Please subscribe to the Hubbard Wrestling Weekly YouTube channel. It will be greatly appreciated. And my TikTok is HubWrestling_MVP. Almost 2 million views on the TikTok, which I'm really excited about. The Hubbard Wrestling Weekly hashtag on TikTok. Almost 2 million views, so I'm excited about that. But like I said, most importantly, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. And also the YouTube channel on Hubbard Wrestling Weekly side is the exclusive home of Clash of the Podcast Shorts. So make sure you check that out as well, man. Big shout out to Fight TV. A lot of good announcements coming up with them. Joel, appreciate you. And again, top 10 list of the best boxers in the world. And it's going to be really good. So check out that good stuff, as well as checking out my brother Conrad every Wednesday night on his YouTube channel. You got that going on as he expertly, along with Derek, big shout out to Derek as well, review weekly WCW Nitros, weekly AEW Dynamites. So make sure you check out that. And Clash of the Podcast every Monday. You already know what it is, man. And we have a very special announcement I like to make right now. That next week, I'm going to be putting out. That's why it's very important to follow me on Twitter. Hub with 2Bs _wrestling. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, because there's going to be an exclusive for people who follow Distinct Instructions, a Amazon gift card giveaway from Clash of the Podcast. Myself and Conrad want to do something really special for you guys for the holidays. There will be one winner. It's going to be an Amazon gift card. We figure everybody loves Amazon. Amazon's very convenient. It's going to be a code for a gift card, and it's going to be sent straight to your email. But there are some things that you have to do first. And the first thing you have to do is follow Hub_wrestling on Twitter to get the instructions. I will be dropping the instructions on how to enter to win this Friday night, 10 minutes before SmackDown. Again, this Friday night, 10 minutes before SmackDown, on Hub_wrestling on Twitter to get your instructions on how to enter to win an Amazon holiday gift card from myself and Conrad. So that's a big deal.
Most deaf. We'll have some other shows coming up. Clash of the Podcast. If you guys got questions, old school, new school, wrestling related, non-wrestling related, we'll do a Q&A for it. I know Derek wants to get on one too, and we'll get some questions for him too. But if you got some questions for me and Sean, definitely stack them up. Maybe I can get Derek here that Monday a little early, and maybe we can all three of us just answer some of the questions. And we'll get in on it. So save up some of your best ones. And you better bring some heavy hitters for us. We'll probably try to have that show on the, I'm guessing maybe the 26th might be the best one to do that for. And then we'll start gearing up for Royal Rumble season, because after that, we're getting into the new year. I'm going to have some categories coming out for a match of the year. This Wednesday, we got Winner is Coming for AEW Dynamite. Me and Derek will give you that review. Lots of goodness happening here on both ends of Clash of the Podcast, where we meet up and we promote each other. We help each other, man. And lots of love for everybody in the chat who came in and followed, man. We had a great audience tonight. I don't know if anyone else can peep the same numbers I am, but great audience tonight. Thank you guys so much for watching this episode of Clash of the Podcast. For myself and my tag team partner, Sean Hubbard of Hubbard Wrestling Weekly, we are out. Peace.